This is Rabbi Avital Hochstein of Machon Hadar. Parashat Nitzavim Vayelech, 57:77. The value of forgetfulness in a culture of tradition. As we approach the end of Devarim, we also approach Moshe's death. The tension rises. The only leader the Jewish people have known thus far is about to die. Even we, the readers of the biblical text from a distance of hundreds of years, sense the great fear that must have been felt by the Israelites. But there's another aspect to the tension, which we, the readers, are not only observers of, but also party to. In a culture that values tradition, which is largely founded on a connection to the past, moments of death and transition from one generation to another feel particularly threatening. These are moments that hold the potential for crisis and fragmentation. Dealing with them is particularly complex. In the Babylonian Talmud, in a sugiya in Masechet Tmura, we find several descriptions of Moshe's death and the moments surrounding it. At the center of some of these versions are verses taken from our parasha, which hold within them a tension between continuity and fragmentation. Interestingly, they are spoken by Moshe himself. This instruction, which I enjoin upon you this day, is not too baffling for you, nor is it beyond your reach. It is not in the heavens that you should say, "Who among us can go up to the heavens and get it for us and import it to us, that we may observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who among us can cross to the other side of the sea and get it for us and impart it to us, that we may observe it?" No, the thing is very close to you, in your mouth and in your heart, to observe it. According to the simple reading of these verses, they describe the mitzvah, or the Torah, whose origin is in the heavens, as something that is now within a hand's grasp of the Israelites, and maybe of humans in general. Already in the verses themselves, one can sense a certain tension, which finds expression in the words of negation used by Moshe. It is not too baffling for you, nor is it beyond your reach. From between the lines, one can hear echoes of a tension with regards to the relationship between tradition and continuity, between past and future, between old and new. The Talmudic Sugiya, which quotes these verses in the course of its description of Moshe's death, reveals something of the way in which our tradition perceives the meaning of tradition itself. This is what is told in Masechet Tmura in one of the versions describing Moshe's death, on which we will focus. Rav Yehuda reported in the name of Samuel, 3,000 traditions and laws were forgotten during the period of mourning for Moshe. The Midrash describes a reality in which immediately after Moshe's death, a gap is formed between his Torah in his lifetime and the Torah that he leaves behind. They said to Joshua, "Ask." The Israelites' reaction shines some light on their consciousness. It is clear that they are aware of the gap that was created during the transfer of leadership between Moshe and Yehoshua, and they are not comfortable with it. In addition, they do not demand of Yehoshua, "Learn," but rather, "Ask." For this is what they were accustomed to with Moshe, who returned to God with his questions. Out of this habit, in their demand of Yehoshua, the new reality with regards to the Torah is revealed. In the words of the verse taken from our parasha, he replied, "It is not in heaven." Yehoshua's answer is that the locus of Torah, and in fact, the source of knowledge from now on is no longer in the heavens. With Moshe's death, our role is to clarify knowledge ourselves. That is, while Moshe asked God his questions directly, after his death, the relationship is not so direct. In essence, the very nature of the Torah changes. During Moshe's lifetime, the Torah existed outside of human involvement. But from now on, the Torah exists fully only when it comes into contact with human beings. The verses actually add to the story an immense potential for the democratization of knowledge. It is now available to all, within reach of every single person who seeks it. According to these sources, Moshe's death legitimizes and even brings to a requirement of autonomous exegesis, since the Torah is no longer in heaven. The description portrays no sadness or mourning over the forgetting of the halachot. The creators of the Agadah, the story, reflect their perception of later generations as dwarfs standing on the shoulders of giants, rather than the alternative narrative of declining generations. The Agadah then proceeds to describe the private communication between the dying Moshe and his student and successor, Joshua. Rav Yehuda reported in the name of Rav, "When Moshe departed this world for the Garden of Eden, he said to Joshua, 'Ask me concerning all the doubts you have.'" Moshe attempts to leave a world without doubt. But ironically, it is exactly this attempt which creates a space filled with doubt. He replied to him, "My master, have I ever left you for 1 hour and gone elsewhere? Did you not write concerning me in the Torah, 'But his servant Yehoshua, the son of Nun, departed not out of the tabernacle?'" Yehoshua is insulted by Moshe's statement. He has been indeed the model of a devoted student who never left his teacher's side, and so the very thought that he might have doubts and questions affronts him. In essence, Joshua says to Moshe, "I know everything that you know." It is unclear whether Yehoshua's tone is one of innocence, insult, or conceit, but the emotional mental reaction is not late in coming. Immediately the strength of Joshua weakened, and in other versions, immediately the strength of Moshe weakened. The weakening described here, chishut in Hebrew, is a very dangerous emotional situation, which is used in rabbinic agadot to describe an affliction visited upon a person who injures another person emotionally, is injured by another person, or commits a terrible crime against another. Regardless of whether the injuring party was Moshe or Yehoshua, the results are identical. And he, Joshua, forgot 300 laws, and there arose in his mind 700 doubts. Then all the Israelites rose up to kill him. The story describes a metaphysical interference with humanity, which contradicts human aspirations, and maybe it simply describes what happens with the passing of a person, which changes the fabric of human existence. While the figures of Moshe and Yehoshua in this midrash represent the human striving at the moment of death for complete congruence between what was and what will be, the desire to identify past and future generations, metaphysical circumstances, or natural human circumstances do not allow for this, and this aspiration is ultimately replaced by forgetfulness. The end of this midrash is not simple, since God's suggestion to Yehoshua in face of the wrath of the Israelites towards him is a difficult one. The Holy One, blessed be he, then, said to him, "It is not possible to tell you these laws which you forgot. Go and occupy their attention in war. As it says, now after the death of Moshe, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke," and so on. The quoted verse is found at the beginning of the book of Joshua. After the death of Moshe, the servant of God, God said to Yoshua, son of Nun, Moshe's attendant, "My servant Moshe is dead. Prepare to cross the Jordan together with all his people into the land that I am giving to the Israelites. But you must be very strong and resolute to observe faithfully all the teachings that my servant Moshe enjoined upon you. Do not deviate from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful." God reminds Yoshua that he is a completely different person than Moshe, and that his role is also different. Although Joshua is defined time and again as Moshe's successor and is commanded to follow in his footsteps, he is also responsible for a completely different task, entering and conquering the land of Israel. The commandment God gives Yoshua, "Do not deviate from it to the right or to the left," demands special attention. The reading of a midrash that describes forgetfulness side by side with a verse that includes the commandment. The reading of a midrash that describes forgetfulness side by side with a verse that includes the commandment of "Do not deviate right or left" creates an amusing juxtaposition. Clearly, one cannot observe the commandment not to deviate when one forgets some of the details to which this directive applies. In addition, the demand not to deviate becomes less simple when faced with new challenges and completely different circumstances than have existed in the past, such as would accompany the transition from the desert to the land of Israel. This awareness also leads us to understand that there can be merit to forgetfulness. When one is faced with a new reality, there's a certain advantage to doubts. Only through doubt and questions can the future be something different rather than a replication, a copy of the world that was. Only through forgetfulness can a world with the potential of renewal exist, a world which is not static or dead, but rather relevant. The Talmudic Agadah regarding Moshe's death in fact teaches us that there can be no continuity of tradition that does not include forgetfulness. There's no continuity without a certain measure of fragmentation. A perfect replication of the past circumstances can only lead to a stagnation and ultimately to death. It also indicates that the source of knowledge, Torah's place, changes in an essential way with the death of Moshe, as it is no longer in the heaven. In this way, Torah becomes dependent on constant contact with humans. That is its place. That is where it exists. In addition, the doubts that were born in Yoshua's heart with Moshe's death did in fact create distance between him and Moshe, but simultaneously it brought him close to Moshe's words, "The thing is very close to you, in your mouth and in your heart, to observe it." Shabbat Shalom.